Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my Supplement Starter Kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We're talking about nutrition and enhanced sports performance. That's actually the name of a very encyclopedic text by today's guest. He's Dr. Debasis Bagchi. He's from the Department of Pharmacological and Pharmaceutical Sciences, the University of Houston, and a longtime contributor to the nutraceutical industry with tons of papers, lots of inventions, and many innovations in the field of sports nutrition, but not just sports nutrition, just for overall health. So, Dr. Bagchi, post-workout, you know, the problem of recovery. You know, some people say, well, you know, after you work out, just eat a meal, you know, have plenty of protein, have some calories, you'll be fine. You don't need to take anything special. What do you say?
Actually, you know, post-workout is the most important because after we finish our strenuous exercise, then our muscles are damaged, our tissues are damaged. Now, if we do not take care of them immediately, it will cause problem in our body. And we won't get the energy to do the exercise the next day or next couple of days. So that's why we are so focused, which can help in reconstructing the tissue, restructuring, reconstructing the damaged tissue. It repaired the DNA. Now, our body can do that, but that repair process is extremely slow. What we want to do, we develop formula for post-workout. And what it does, it stops, it enhances the muscle's repair and stops the muscle injury. And it has been shown that it boosts them with the antioxidant balance. At the same time, as you know, sleep is very important. If a person can sleep well, then it will automatically repair all the damages in the body.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, certainly that's something that I've found personally is that sometimes I'm, you know, I overdo it a little bit. I'm sore as hell and I make sure I, you know, get maybe an extra hour of sleep. And that is just really like, you know, the term beauty sleep, it really is very helpful for repair and recovery because the body kind of goes to work at night and the little Pac-Men that eat up inflammation or rebuild muscle in response to exercise, they really go to work.
Exactly. You know, and especially when we go for the workout, we are damaging our tissues. It is get stressed and our brain, it is coming out lot of performance, exciting performance. Now, our body needs rest and that time a beauty sleep, a good rest and sometimes meditation helps. And that time it has been shown it reconstruct a body and there is acute inflammation in the body during exercise. But that is good for us. But we do not want chronic inflammation. So we will cut it right there with proper anti-inflammatory ingredients, what we get from the antioxidant. And
by the way, on the other hand, you know, there's a common practice of athletes, you know, when they hurt, they just take ibuprofen or Motrin
Exactly.
Good idea or bad idea? I mean, it cuts inflammation, so you don't feel the pain. Is that a bad way to suppress inflammation in contradistinction to nutrients?
Yeah, it is definitely. It is not a good practice because it is working on other tissues in the body. So, one day or 2 days it might be good, but sometimes they make it a chronic practice because live acetaminophen, Tylenol, if we take Tylenol, we get the liver damage.
Right. Glutathione depletion, and we need glutathione for repair as well.
Exactly. And if we take ibuprofen, it causes the gastrointestinal injury. And chronic dose, it will lead to ulcer.
Yep.
So, those are good temporarily, but ultimately it will cause the damaging effect.
Indeed. Okay, so many athletes these days are touting ketogenic diet and keto conditioning or keto adaptation. In other words, no longer having the body require sugar or glucose for fuel and becoming a lean, mean, fat-burning machine. That's really the promise of ketogenic conditioning. And can you explain a little bit about muscle physiology? Because, my impression is that the body uses glycogen first, and then it goes into a type of metabolism where you're using the free fatty acids.
Yeah. It is a long story, but to cut it short, glycogen, as you know, it is a form of glucose. And our body, it has a warehouse of glycogen, and it is mainly in the hepatic tissues and in the muscle.
Right.
So, when we need energy for performance, then we need glycogen, and it is quickly mobilized to deliver the fuel in our body. Now, as you said, ketogenic diets are getting really, really, important to the people, athletes. And they have shown that they are going for the low-carb diet, ketogenic diet. And what they do, they deplete the glycogen.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as you know, that it causes the body to burn fat for energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, movie star or the athletes, they are doing that so that they can get a quick fat burning experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they get more shredded, the very lean looking appearance.
Yeah. And strenuous exercise, when people do, like them or like athletes, endurance athletes, they deplete glycogen stores and they burn the fat. So this is a very important use. So here, there are some calculations we did it in one of the papers that how glycogen can make in the body of the liver's total weight and how glycogen can be used and how glycogen can and diet can be modulated with one another and how we can use it with glycogen and exercise. So in a nutshell, our body can store about 2000 calories of glucose as glycogen. And it has been an impediment for the endurance athletes. Now, these athletes, they burn.
They hit the wall, so to speak, after they burn their glycogen. I mean, that's the term that, I've experienced it too. It's like, you're running and all of a sudden you just feel like your legs are sort of turned into jelly and you got nothing left in the tank. You run out of fuel.
Exactly. And what they do, they can burn many calories in a couple of hours. And what you said, that they almost call them that hitting the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Now, they use we develop something that you can do, some way you can avoid that by consuming the glucose gel. And we call them energy gels, which contains glycogen.
And you can actually consume glycogen?
You can consume energy gel.
Wow, okay.
Which contains glycogen, which can be consumed in advance or during an endurance event.
So it's a preloading. So I guess you load up with more glycogen.
Right. Increase the blood glucose level.
And then sustain it because usually you hit the wall somewhere. I mean, it depends on your conditioning, but somewhere between an hour and, maybe 2 or 3 hours, that's when you expend your own glycogen when you're really working hard. Maybe when you're doing a triathlon or an Ironman or something like that.
Exactly. And the two other things are carbo loading. That is the carbohydrate loading. Just before an endurance event.
But isn't that a little bit passé these days that athletes are getting away from that?
They are trying to, some of them, but not all of them. Some people still have some interest in carb loading.
Okay, because it still makes sense.
But as you said, lot of people now taking low carb ketogenic diet.
Right.
So, these are the nutshell that how glycogen, we utilize it in the body.
Okay. So, is it possible to sustain athletic performance with a different type of fuel, say MCT oil? Dissolve some MCT crystals in your water bottle instead of sugar, instead of using a sugary gel. Is that going to help sustain your performance or is
exactly. that? Exactly. MCT gel is one. And second, there are two other herbal ingredients. One is Withania somnifera. That is ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And ashwagandha, and there is another ingredient which is known as tribulus terrestris.
Oh, that's what's often used. Tribulus is often used in these testosterone formulas. I don't think it works to boost testosterone, but it helps endurance.
Yeah. Actually, you will see that people are using both synthetic testosterone booster and natural testosterone booster. So, fenugreek is another natural product which has been shown as a testosterone booster, and you will see some fenugreek product in the market which has been shown as a testosterone booster also. But testosterone booster, generally, we recommend that take it pre-workout or during workout.
But not necessarily after workout.
After workout, that might cause a disturbance in the sleep.
Okay. So what about, there's some vegetarians who swear by it. They say, they're able to have maximal athletic performance, even though they're vegetarians.
Yes.
And they're even vegetarian bodybuilders, people who show impressive muscle growth with a vegetarian diet. But it's a little more challenging, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very challenging. In fact, in the book, I put a chapter on the vegetarian diets. And vegetarian diets, there is a big volume of research is going on in the Purdue University. And they are doing, you can say that they are the pioneer. And they have shown that your non-veg food is good, but vegetarian diet, if you take certain food like mushroom and garbanzo, they have shown that they can boost your energy and nutrition and endurance to the maximal level also.
Mm. Well, and that could be part of a diet that includes animal protein too, that has many plant-based foods, right?
Exactly. It is available. Even, you know, I was in Japan, and one day, one of my Japanese colleagues, he took me to a vegetarian restaurant in Japan. And they made some product with mushroom and some other Japanese ingredients. And they taste like a very good food. And it looks like just like a meat.
Okay. So sort of synthetic meat.
Yeah.
Is it a myth that athletes require more protein? Because, you know, you go to health food stores, GNCs across the country, and you see these big vats of whey protein and so on, branched chain amino acids. And you know, a lot of young guys take these things because they're just – want to look bigger. They want to be muscle bound, and they're hoping that by taking this all this protein, it's going to suddenly cause their muscles to become gigantic.
Yeah, actually, you know, some people, they have the desire that they want to be gigantic.
That's good. Bigorexia. There's a term that's been coined for that. You know, as opposed to anorexia, it's called bigorexia. A lot of young men in America, I think, suffer from this obsession.
Right. Right. You know, what is the problem that when the people, they take that food, like, you know, I am giving you another example, sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
Or the WWF fighter.
Yeah.
Now, they want to be big. They want to be gigantic. And they want to be, you know, but they come across several problems. There is a chapter, we put it on sumo wrestler in our sports nutrition book. And there they have shown, and after that, it was a Japanese scientist. And after that, I had a telephone conversation, and I discussed almost all the intricate aspects. He indicated that sumo wrestler, they do not live for a long time because they cannot sleep at night. They have several physiological problems in the body.
Yeah.
Sometimes
they may
die.
Accelerate their aging process because they're putting too much fuel into the body. It's like they're burning their candles at both ends, and they may get short-term gains, but long-term, the organs may become fatigued and fail.
Exactly. And if another similar study is now going on, two studies going on now in USA where they are trying to find out what happens in these bodybuilders. Not means all bodybuilders, but they are categorizing it, those WWF and other fanatics, those who want to grow their muscle, gigantic muscle. They want to have zero fat. And what are their lifespan?
And evidently, it may take a toll. It may take a toll.
Yeah.
A nutrient that I'm very interested in these days, and presumably it's crossed your radar screen, is nicotinamide riboside, or NR.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with it? And do you think it has a role in sports nutrition? I personally think that it has helped my endurance and performance. And others report, at least anecdotally, that it does that. And there's some research underway supporting that.
Yeah, its information is very good. You know, I was planning to put a paper in our book, but the researcher said, you know, we need some more time.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are doing now, I am getting into another book that is Extreme Sports. And Extreme Sports, this book, I am doing it with CRC Press. And I am hopeful that I will be able to finish it by early next year. So it is going to be a very exciting book on, you know, those who are bungee jumper, those who are playing, you know, deadly games. So this is what my plan is, that what type of nutrition they need and what type of performance they do and what are the consequences, that how long they live and what are the food and nutrition, how they can really help them.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you advise in terms of essential fatty acids? Because, you know, one aspect of sports these days, you know, boxing and football, is the potential for TBI, traumatic brain injury. Have you looked into the role that omega-3 fatty acids play in, you know, say you're a parent or grandparent of a kid who's playing high school soccer, hitting the ball a lot, maybe having a lot of collisions. Would you recommend that they take omega-3?
Yeah, actually, those definitely can help you. Actually, over the time, they can help in restructuring the brain. And always we say that in the post-workout formula, put a portion which can alleviate your brain functions. Like, you know, we said that amino acid, omega-3 fatty acids, then people also include some vitamins. And moreover, they say membrane stabilizer along with this product, they definitely help. Even in some formulation, you will see people are using a small amount of lutein and zeaxanthin.
Mm-hmm. Which it's helpful for the eye, so possibly, nervous system tissue, and maybe it's then also helpful for the brain, yeah.
Yes. Now, some people, they are saying that when you do strenuous exercise or when you are doing, you get obsessed, and that affect your vision, because that affect the your nervous system and your eye. So if you do take these supplements, it will nourish your brain and it nourish your eyes too.
Okay. And finally, when it comes to sports injuries, you know, obviously athletes want to minimize their downtime. If you have a sprained ankle, a sore knees, what do you favor these days? Glucosamine? Do you like anti-inflammatory compounds like curcumin?
Yes. Curcumin is one very good example. And you know, curcumin has been shown it works very good with bromelain. Bromelain comes from pineapple stem, as you know.
Yeah.
And bromelain and curcumin, they help in the pain alleviation a lot. Some athletes in the Asian world, they use milk, just lukewarm milk, and they put curcumin.
They call this golden milk, I think, in some parts of the world.
Yes, golden milk, exactly.
Yeah.
You know that term. Now, it has been shown that you take that product and next day you will be perfectly fine. So, you know, during my previous interviews with the Olympic athlete coaches, I suggested them that you can put these things to your athletes, that milk with a, because what they say, that curcumin or turmeric is not very bioavailable.
Right.
So when you put in the milk, it helps or enhances the bioavailability.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Because a lot of people these days, they're on dairy-free diets, but in this case, it makes sense to use dairy to as a carrier for the curcumin to make it more bioavailable. That's interesting.
Yes.
Okay, great stuff. But a lot of this information is available in your book. Now, I must warn people, this is a scientific text. So if you are someone who's a very avid exerciser, or perhaps you're involved in coaching or in nutritional support for athletes, this is the go-to book, because it's got enormous number of articles covering all, really a full gamut of issues related to sports nutrition. The book is available from, Academic Press.
That's, yes. Elsevier.
Elsevier Publishers. And I guess you can find it on Amazon. But is there a simpler book or, you know, frankly, a less expensive, more accessible book for lay people who just want some basics?
There are a lot of books, you know, lot of books, but most of them, they have some proprietary information.
Yeah.
They do not want to make it academic, and they just pump the book with their product information.
Exactly, exactly. So really we want reliable information from academics that you have supervised and curated with expertise in various areas of nutrition. So that's the go-to book. And then we anxiously await your next book, which is about extreme sports.
Yeah.
And so great stuff. Thank you very much for your contributions.
And it is always a pleasure, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay. And here's a warning. You know, you sent me a copy of your book. And yeah. From time to time, I'm going to update our listening audience with specific chapters and sections on that.
Sure.
Is that okay? I'll be happy to share.
My pleasure.
There's just wonderful chapters in here. Vegetarian athletes, performance-enhancing drugs, performance-enhancing supplements, the role of hydration, exercise, and upper respiratory tract infections. Why do people get frequent colds when they overexercise? On and on and it goes. Just a real encyclopedia of information related to sports nutrition. Congratulations on that book. And keep up the great work. This is Dr. Debasis Baghchi, B-A-G-C-H-I. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Baghchi.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.